Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am joined by Rabbi Shalom Fishbane, Executive Director of ACCO and the Kashrus Administrator of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Fishbane, for being here again.
Thank you.
Last time, we had a wonderful conversation. You gave us an overview, an introduction of sorts to the sugya of Starbucks and Kashrus. And today, with your permission, I'd like to get into specifics. People out there are clamoring for information about Starbucks. They want to know what they can buy, what they shouldn't buy, what they should know. You mentioned that nowadays is really not much of a difference between stores and kiosks, which is a good starter piece of information. Mm-hmm. Let's speak to the consumer out there who likes their coffee. Starbucks is a high quality coffee. So with the most simple question that you'll probably get, which is, can I walk into any Starbucks and buy a black coffee?
Wow. Yes, that is seemingly a simple question, but not necessarily. And the reason is like this. When we talk about anything at Starbucks, we not only look to see how they make it, but more importantly is how they clean the kalim. Because Starbucks is very much a non-kosher restaurant with non-kosher hot sandwiches made in the oven. So how do they do the kalim that make the treif? Do they interact with the items that are making the simple coffee? And that has always been the question from day one. Now, the way you make a simple coffee is you brew coffee in what's called a brew basket. You put the ground in the brew basket, you turn on the hot water, it drips in. And that's how you make your coffee, and they give you the cup from there. The brew basket is something that may or may not be washed together mm-hmm. with something straight out of a hot treif oven. Literally, I mean, you're talking about daraisa treif, you know. Mm-hmm. It's real daraisa treif. And this has been the ongoing question. And I go into so many Starbucks, and I'll go right there. And I have to tell you, whenever I come across or I hear about a frum barista is the one that prepare, it's Italian. That's what gets us excited. I call them up, we find a way to meet. I can interview for hours because they're coming not only from Yedias of Starbucks, but also Nemonus. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what I'm looking for, what I'm talking about. And Baruch Hashem, over the years, I've had a lot of frum baristas giving me valuable information. So this is coming from, we'll call it from a Nemonus side also. So bottom line is like this, the brew basket. It used to be the brew baskets were always put into, there's two ways Starbucks clean. Okay, that's also very unique. One is what's called a three-compartment sink. That's by law everyone needs, a three-compartment sink. The first one is a rinse, a hot rinse. Then they put in the soap, and then they rinse it off. Again, and then they put something called sanitizers.
Really, by law they're required to clean their utensil?
Yeah, every utensil needs a three.
It's a municipal requirement, or is it a federal thing?
It's a city. The cities are the one that enforce it. But all restaurants have a three compartment sink. If they mm-hmm. don't, something's off. Okay, what's unique about Starbucks, which is why they're much different than any other coffee house, is they generally have something else called, we know it as a Hobart. Hobart is the one that makes it. It's a sanitizer. In essence, it's a dishwasher. It's a very hot rinse, about 185 degree rinse that spins around and does that extra sanitizing that's needed. Okay, so they call it a sanitizer. The Hobart, these are various names for it. And, you know, halachically, it's interesting because it's not hot enough to be Hagola, which is 212, or Hascholas Resicha, 190 if you want to say. Mm-hmm. It's below that, but it's certainly way over Yatzeletis. So that actually complicates things more. So when I walk in to a Starbucks and I'll say, I keep kosher, I have a couple of questions, you have a few minutes, how do you clean your brew baskets? Okay. Mm-hmm. And generally they'll try to tell me what they think I want here. So just tell me exactly what you're doing. And for the longest time, the brew baskets were put into the Hobart. They were put into the three compartment sink with the non-kosher. And therefore, if we're looking for something that's shiloh free, and it just had the plate that had a hot ham sandwich, and the blius maybe going in and out, it's not luchatchila. maybe you can tie to this, tie to that.
Because you know, if you want to get lumdish, you'll start with Davar HaPaygim, right? Yeah, yeah. The soap and things
it's
like that.
It's so interesting, you're saying. I have to tell you the funny.
I'm sure you get that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what happens is, certainly in the beginning years, I would walk into Starbucks and they would say, yes, sir, what can we get you? Would you like an espresso? Would you like an iced? No, thank you. Can I just have a cup of your dishwasher soap? What? It's a kosher thing. I need just to taste to see how pugum it was. Uh-huh. Can I taste your sanitizer? You know, if you don't sue us, we'll get you to do it. And I've taken that from place to place. I've tasted it. I brought it to our rabbanim. Is this the Adavar Pugum? It's not. So that's the kind of weird things we may do in researching Starbucks. Yeah. So the brew basket is the key. That's the key. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that in the beginning years, there was nothing to talk about. All over the place, it was definitely washed with. And lately, it's been getting so much better. What happens now is that a lot of the places, they have some sort of thing where they actually put it in all in place. They clean it in place. They don't even take it out and put it into the sinks or into the thing. So you would think everything was great.
They clean it while it's still in the machine?
It's called a CIP, a clean in place type of cleaning. That's great. Now the brew baskets are not touching anything, Trafe. Everything should be good. I was very excited about that. And my chaverim in Kashrus call from time to time. There's one particularly in New Jersey who says, you know, I've been going place to place. All the brew baskets are now clean in place. We should be good to go. So in preparation for us getting together and the CRC, we're putting out a new Starbucks list that's going to be put online shortly. I did a blitz of Starbucks places. And chaval. Not chaval that I did it, but I was almost there by about to tell everyone, go ahead and order blindly a black coffee without any shilas whatsoever. Because even this last week, I went to four different places, three out of the four, in the simplest places. One was putting it in the Hobart with the Trafer Kalem. The other one was the simplest place. It was a little kiosk. She says to me, I soak everything in very hot water without soap for a half hour. The brew baskets and the tong that just took out the ham cheese sandwich all together without soap.
Boiling hot water.
And then I start the regular thing. And another place, you know, it just went all over the thing. I said, chaval, we're not there yet. So is it better than it used to be? Absolutely. Can I comfortably say that it's... we're there and that's completely across? I cannot say that. So there are other options if you need that coffee fix. But at this point, I cannot comfortably say that you can think. Now, you may have a very good relationship with your particular Starbucks that you go every single day. You know the people. Maybe there's a people from barista that works there and you're very, very comfortable that in this particular place, they're not taking the brew baskets out. They're washing it in place. That's good information for you to bring to your own Rav based on how we're presenting.
But again, you can't extrapolate that to other places.
Absolutely not.
I'm just addressing it. It might be obvious to many people and to yourself, but to those who may question it, the machine itself, you seem to indicate that there's no problem. Is that because it's dedicated to making black coffee? It's not a sheared machine. There's nothing to be concerned with that.
It's when you say the machine, you're talking about, you know, it's like a bullet. It's called a bullet.
Yeah.
And you see that in hotels. That's all it is.
There's just holds the granules.
The granules, right? On top with a
granules
brew basket.
Granules come through.
Yeah, that's dedicated.
But there's no flavoring in those type of machines.
Oh,
that's what I mean. No, nothing.
The flavorings are all added as a pump syrup afterwards. And I have to tell you asked before, are there differences? You know, even the simple thing like vanilla sugar-free syrup, it was always kosher parv. In my most recent research, I discovered it's actually now dairy equipment, kosher dairy, DE on there. And the toasted vanilla and the brown sugar. I mean, things change. The cinnamon caramel no longer has a hechsher. The honey blend no longer has a hechsher, et cetera, et cetera. Now, obviously, we're talking today, and therefore, anyone seeing this in many years to come should not assume that things change all the time.
Right, we'll for the try, better
for
or
the better,
for the
or
worse.
The worst. But that was something so interesting. Even something like almond milk. Almond milk was always at a hechsher, and now they make it in a septic which needs a very good hashtag, septic boxes, it no longer has a hashtag as of today. The soy and the oat, and they still do have. Coconut still does have. Some of it's dairy equipment, some of it's part. So you every single time need to check. You cannot assume, oh, I was here, I once heard a share on a tour anytime, or let's talk cautious, everything's good to go. It really does change, and even the basic stuff. So that's very important. That was a surprise to me, and I always thought like this: these were things were never going to change, but they actually do change.
So the short answer to the black coffee question, if I'm understanding correctly, is you can't make any assumption unless, like you indicated, if you know that your local Starbucks, for you befriend the guy behind the counter and you know the way they clean and you know it's cleaned in place, then you'll be good to go. You could bring that question to your rabbi. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Bring your question to rabbi. Knows how much can you believe them? How much are you certain? How you know, all of those should be shown to those. There is, however, good news, okay? There is one thing in terms of, you know, a hot caffeinated drink or coffee that you could get, and that's what's called an Americano. Now, you have to understand, in Starbucks, there are two ways of making coffee. There is what we describe, you know, the good old grinds, put it in the brewing. We talked about that. And then there's something that's made what they call the bar. Okay, it has a fancy name, Esterno, where basically it's this machine where you make espresso and you can steam the milk. They call it the bar, so we'll call it the bar. Things made over there are, in a certain sense, much simpler because those are very much locked in place. Mm-hmm. There's not too much coming in out of that or throwing it. There used to be something called a shot divider, whatever that means. They stopped with that, so that's good news. Those that have been following Starbucks, what they can and cannot get, used to come and say, can you remove the shot divider? No longer necessary. Mm-hmm. They've gone to new machines. An Americano is simply an espresso shot with hot water. Okay, it's actually insulting. I'll tell you why they call it an Americano. You know how us Americans need everything big and large and, you know, I'm not paying such a small, right? And in the rest of the world, they laugh at us. Like, you know, you go to some countries and you order something and you can't find it on your plate. I'm not paying for this. I need a big, okay. You know, and all kidding aside, in Eretz Israel, ever taste an Israeli tomato? It's small, but it's flavorful. An American tomato is like full of water, but it's big, right?
Right, right.
So they make fun of us. They call it an Americano. So we'll just give them an espresso shot, which the rest of the world drinks for their caffeine in the morning. We'll just add hot water, you know, for, you know, no extra cost, and we'll charge more. And all of a sudden, that's why it's called an Americano. But the way it's made is an espresso shot in your cup that they're making, that you're going to walk away with. Mm-hmm. So it's a disposable. And the espresso part of that machine is completely Shiloh-free. Mm-hmm. So you therefore can get an Americano. It tastes just like coffee because it's concentrated coffee plus hot water, and an espresso you for sure can get. And that is a very good Shiloh-free alternative to a regular cup of coffee, and it really does taste the same, and you'll get the same caffeine.
And again, in Starbucks, that's called an espresso?
No, an espresso is one thing, but that's very small.
It's called an Americano.
Americano.
Okay.
An Americano.
And the reason why it's not a problem, you're saying because the machine is contained, and they don't remove the parts to clean it?
There is only one part that's removed, and that's on something else, which we'll talk about another time.
Okay.
Because there's a whole other department of items you can get there. But certainly from the bar, the Mistrono, an espresso shot, an Americano, Shiloh-free, no problems whatsoever.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.